Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 40th video for the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we're beginning to look at the minor prophets, beginning with the book of Hosea. And as usual, let's start with some background issues. First, Hosea ministered to the northern kingdom Israel, which, as you'll remember, was always characterized by idolatry and unfaithfulness. And the author was Hosea. And we know a lot about him from this book because it's largely autobiographical. Hosea was married to a woman who was unfaithful. Now, we don't know for sure whether she was unfaithful before they were married or only afterwards, but God told Hosea beforehand about her character. They had three children, and there was some question actually whether they were his kids or not. After all, one of them is named Not Mine. And then Hosea ministered in a time of prosperity. See, he brought the prophetic perspective that things were going wrong, even when they appeared to be going well. You see, if they're to be measured by material prosperity, things were good. But if they're rightly measured by faithfulness to the Lord, things were horrible in Hosea's time. Now let's focus on the organization of Hosea. The outline of this book divides neatly into two major sections. The first major section is about the prophet and his family life. And like I mentioned, it is autobiographical. Hosea gets married by God's command. God told him to enter into this relationship. And he has three kids and gives them symbolic names because God asked him to. One is named Not Mine or Not My People. One is named Not Loved, and the third is named Jezreel. And his wife turns out to be unfaithful, and she ends up living as a prostitute. But then God directs Hosea, go and buy back your own wife. So Hosea, he goes and pays for her, even though she was already his wife, and he accepted her back, even though she'd been extremely unfaithful. And then the second major section is the prophecies that Hosea spoke. And in these prophecies, God uses Hosea's family life as an object lesson about Israel. First, God says Israel is just like Hosea's wife. In other words, he accuses them of spiritual adultery. They're unfaithful to God by their idolatry, and he announces a lawsuit against them. That is, pronouncement of punishment for their betrayal, and then a description of the reasons for the punishment. And God calls them to repentance. But just like he had commanded Hosea to do with his unfaithful wife, God takes Israel back. Now, their spiritual adultery was substantial, but God's overcoming love was even stronger. Now, let's examine the content of Hosea by looking at some key verses. Verses chapter 2, verse 23, which says, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. And I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Now this passage is near the end of the section in which God uses Hosea's family life as an illustration in order to rebuke Israel. But in this verse, he gives a clear note of hope. The names given to two of Hosea's children were Not Loved and Not My People, as a message about the unfaithful people. But here God promises he's going to change their name. Not Loved will be loved. And Not My People will experience the fulfillment of God's regular promise, they will be my people and I will be their God. See, God's grace and hope overcomes their sin and idolatry. Next is chapter 4, verse 1, which says, hear the word of Yahweh, you Israelites, because Yahweh has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. Now, this passage is part of the covenant lawsuit. God is giving evidence against Israel, proving that they have broken the covenant. And the charge in this verse is threefold. They're unfaithful, they're unloving, and they do not acknowledge God. And the first two of these is the direct result of the third. Then is chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the voice of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Now, this passage is a continuation of the accusations against God's people. And notice that in this passage, Hosea also speaks to Judah, along with the northern kingdom, in this rebuke. And God's people, they're compared to the mist that disappears in the morning. And remember, this is the definition of vanity we saw in Ecclesiastes. And so God rebuked them, and he judged them via his word through the prophets. And this is a merciful judgment. And if they don't listen to the prophets, harsher judgments will follow. And Hosea actually echoes Samuel in saying that God desires mercy and acknowledging God more than any outward ritual. Then is chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Do not rejoice, O Israel. Do not be jubilant like the other nations, for you have been unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor." Again, continuing the accusation in this verse. Israel is unfaithful. They have acted like a prostitute after other gods. And even worse, they were arrogantly happy about it. In other words, this is a measure of how bad they had become. That their value system had been so twisted that they delight in wickedness instead of feeling shame. And then is chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and verses 8 and 9. It says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. And how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is charged within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my first anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath." Now, this passage reveals God's heart for his people. He calls Israel his son, which is quoted in the book of Matthew about Jesus. But Israel walked away from God. So in one sense, God could and should reject them because they broke covenant. But God goes on to say, "I cannot do it. I cannot punish you like these other examples of punishment." His heart and his compassion will not allow him to come in wrath because he's God and not man. He is different than us. Now, we need to be very careful here because there's two ways we can take this.